Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was scouring the internet this week, I came upon these really interesting websites that had to do with repurposing old junk. In other words, those things around the house that you find and say, oh, it's broken, it's old, it's no good anymore. Well, instead of just throwing that out, some people decided that they wanted to take it and make it into something brand new. And so I just wanted to share a few of what these people did with some of this old junk they found around the house. Do you have an old ladder? One that you would be scared to get up on because you're not sure if it would hold you any longer. Well, what did one wise person do? They took that ladder and made it into a really nice bookshelf. Maybe you'll do that too later on this afternoon. Maybe you have some old tennis rackets around the house that are broken and you think, oh, you know what? I'll just get a new one. It's not that big a deal. Well, what do you do with the old one? Well, this person decided that it would make some really nice mirrors up on the wall. Or an old suitcase, one that you can't really take with you when you get on an airplane, but is there anything you could do with it? How about make it into a suitcase chair? Some of these people are very creative. Maybe your kids are out of the house, and maybe when they were there, they liked to play drums, and so now you've got this old broken down drum set. Is there anything that you can do with that? Well, how about some light fixtures made out of old drums? There were all kinds of things having to do with old refrigerators and all the different ways that you could use those. You could make it into a bookshelf, just like the ladder. Or you could make it into a really fancy place for your dog. Or you could even make it into a refrigerator couch, which one person did. Maybe you've got an old piano around the house. What can you do with that? Well, I don't know about you, but those are pretty creative shelving up there on the wall. Maybe you've got some tires around the house. What do I do with old tires? Well, you can make them into Christmas decorations. You can make them into an ottoman, a footrest, or maybe just something for your dog. There's lots of ways that you can repurpose old, broken down, seemingly useless things into something that now has great use. Why did I share all of that? Because our very important point of today is this. Because of our sin, we are the one that are broken down and are no longer useful in our current state. We are unable to accomplish the purpose for which we were created, and that is to contribute to what God is doing in this world. That's His purpose for us, that each one of us would play a part in what God wants to do in His grand plan for planet Earth. But in our current state, we are not able to do that. We need to be repurposed. And you know what? That's what God did through His gospel. That's what the cross and Pentecost that we're talking about here today is all about. Through the cross, we get the forgiveness of all of our sins and a fresh new start. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit that first came on Pentecost, we are made brand new, led by the Holy Spirit to once again be about God's purposes for this world. You see, it says in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become, here it is, worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. So it's not about just becoming a slightly better person. No, it's much deeper than that. We cannot fulfill God's purposes for our lives until we are completely repurposed. That's why Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." A completely new start. Letting go of the old person and all of the sin and all of the separation from God and starting all over again. "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus says, "no one can enter the kingdom of God." And what he's talking about there is not just going to heaven, but being about the things of the kingdom of God, even while we're here, unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Those two things are what transform us and repurpose us for the things of God. Now we find in Acts chapter 2 that those two things actually happen simultaneously. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive on that day the gift of the Holy Spirit." Last night, we had a celebration at the Saturday evening service. We had twin baby girls baptized. And it was really special as Riley and Wren were baptized into the faith. As that water was being poured over their heads and those words, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," were spoken over them, their sins were washed away, as it says, for the forgiveness of sins. And God then made a deposit in each one of them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from that day, the repurposing was begun. Now, that Holy Spirit that they received that day, that deposit that was placed inside of them, is now an alternative voice to the voice that is speaking so loudly, coming from Satan, coming from the world, and coming from our own sinful flesh. It's another voice that leads us instead to the things of God. And so it says in Galatians 5, "So I say, walk not in the things of the world, not in your old way, but now walk by that new voice that's inside of you, by the Spirit. And you will not, if you do that, gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want." I mentioned this last night, that sometimes it feels like you're a little bit of a spiritual schizophrenic. If you've got two voices that are competing in your head and in your heart, the one that says, "I want to go out and I want to satisfy my flesh. I want to do those things that I know are not right, but for some reason I have this magnetic attraction to them." But then once you're a Christian, once you're baptized, you also have that voice of the Holy Spirit, a still small voice that is speaking to you, "Don't do that. You've been there before. That doesn't lead to anything good. Instead, I've got something way better for you that's going to accomplish eternal things. Listen to that voice instead." Jesus said in John 3, "The Spirit give life." Following him, that's where real life comes about. The flesh, that counts for nothing. One of the prayers in my own personal life that I pray a lot is simply this: "God, I just want my life to count. I just want to be useful to what you're doing. Give me the grace of your Holy Spirit just to be useful today." And I know deep down, for all of you that are believing, baptized members of Christ, you have that same desire deep down as well. You just want your life to count.
to be sensitive to and follow the gift of the Holy Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you begin following after the Holy Spirit, He puts those things inside of you that begin to change you from the inside out. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is leading toward the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and all those other things, then I love that analogy that if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and He's leading toward doing those kind of things, then keep in step with each day. Follow after the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, just fill me with those fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just fruit of the Holy Spirit that we get when we receive the Holy Spirit. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, follow the way of love, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and eagerly desire gifts from the Spirit, especially prophecy. See, not only does God want to transform you, that you might be more loving and more caring and more patient, but He also wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit with supernatural gifts that are going to give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Things like the gift of healing, things like the gift of words of knowledge and prophecy and all of these supernatural gifts that He wants to fill you up with. When you say to Him, Holy Spirit, just take my life and use it for your purposes, He's going to make you more like Jesus in your character, and He's going to fill you with gifts so that you too can do miracles like Jesus did, filled up with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work that He puts in your path. I love this analogy as well. In our day today, we would say, you have two different kinds of plates. You have the paper plates that you bring out for just any occasion. And then you have the special china, right? That you only bring out for those special occasions. And He says, if you follow the Holy Spirit and seek to follow after Him instead of the things of the flesh, then what happens? God knows that He can use you and me for special purposes, to do amazing things here on this earth. And as we do those things, that's where really real life comes. And God wants that for each and every one of us. As we follow after the Holy Spirit, He wants to use each one of us for special purposes, to do things that have eternal value, not just earthly value, but something that's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Flee, He says, the evil desires of youth, and instead pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Jesus telling us a command. Flee those things. You've got another voice in you now, the voice of the Holy Spirit, that is saying, don't do that stuff. Let go of that stuff. I've got really big things in store for you if you would just embrace me. The first thing that we always have to do is embrace the fact that we are forgiven. That's what the cross is all about. You are washed clean. Satan would want to remind you over and over and over again that God could never use you. You're dirty. You're useless. But when that happens, you remind yourself of the cross, that He has repurposed you now. You have value now
He can use you now because your sins have been washed away and you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is all the wisdom and love and power that you need to be useful to the kingdom of God.
In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit first came upon those disciples, it says, "And with many other words, Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. When Peter presented the gospel to them and said, 'Go and get baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit,' he says, 'Save yourself. I tell our confirmands every year, don't be like the world. The world is going to hell, and the majority of the people on the planet are going to hell. If you believe in Jesus, you're not. So why would you want to act like them? Save yourself out of this corrupt generation. Live for Jesus, not for your flesh, any longer.'" 3,000 on that first Pentecost were added to their number. And maybe there's some here today, or some that are listening in on KRWC or on our YouTube channel, that maybe today is your day when you say, "I want to embrace the things of God. I want to escape this corrupt generation." It is corrupt. If it was corrupt 2,000 years ago, imagine how corrupt it is now. Just a couple of final thoughts on the Holy Spirit. The first one is this. Once again from Acts 2, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean, this whole Pentecost thing, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." When you embrace the things of God, when you embrace the fact that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and wants to guide you to do things that have eternal value, there are going to be some, just like there were 2,000 years ago, that are not going to understand why you're living your life the way that you are. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to come up with all kinds of excuses of what's wrong with you. But you know what? That's okay. Let it go. Who cares? The world is going to hell. You're not. You have special purpose. You have been repurposed by God to do amazing things in this world, and the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Also in Acts chapter 2, these 3,000, when they came together, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If you're going to embrace the cross, if you're going to embrace the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel like a salmon swimming upstream against the evil and the corruption of this world. You're going to need to be around other believers as we hold one another up and encourage one another. And so it said these early believers, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What you're doing right now, you're coming to church, you're being around the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship. That means being around other believers and fellowshipping with other believers. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. We're going to do that here in just a few minutes. And they devoted themselves to prayer, praying individually and praying together with other believers. And as they did that, they were encouraged to keep on going, to put aside the things of the flesh and embrace the things. In 2 Corinthians 5, it lays it out so succinctly and beautifully. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." God has done an amazing work in you and me through the cross of Jesus Christ, through our baptism, and by filling us with his Holy Spirit. The God who made us can also remake us. And that's what he's done for you and for me. Now we don't have to live those idle lives just like the rest of the world. Our lives have been repurposed
by God. Family of God, embrace the things of God. You are forgiven and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have everything you need to follow the Holy Spirit and to do amazing things for God in this world. May God grant it to each and every one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.